So here is a story about a time when it seemed that Santa and Mrs. Claus really did come to visit several families in a prairie farming community. In doing so, they created a story of hope and faith for the Jews and the Christians who were living there. It was early in the morning, December 18th, 1935. Mrs. von Tettenborn, affectionately known as Mrs. von T, stomped her boots, brushed the snow off her coat, and went inside. With the morning so dark, the first thing she did was to light a lantern in the one-room school. All ready, she could hear sleigh bells ringing outside. The children were arriving. She hoped and prayed that they weren't too cold and that it wouldn't take too long for them to settle and start to focus on the practice for the concert. The Christmas concert was always her favorite time of year, especially when it was over. Mrs. von T hoped it would be uplifting for everyone. The children seemed especially needy this year. Times were tough, with jobs scarce and money in short supply. But her thoughts were soon interrupted when the children tumbled indoors.
Higglety pigglety, frosty, frozen and cold. Giggles and laughter, we children so bold. Higglety pigglety, snowballs melting in our backs. Today's a rehearsal. Can we relax?
Well, Mrs. von T had a way about her, and the children did finally settle. And soon enough, they were well into their concert practice. And on to the highlight, the nativity scene. Mrs. von T loved this chance to remind her students of the true meaning of Christmas and of the everlasting light that shines through the dark. She prompted the children who weren't backstage to sing, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." Please remain seated as you join them now. We'll sing, that's hymn number 246, and we'll sing verses 1 and 2. Mrs. von T wondered about all the sneezes and whether there was a bit of a flu going around, but she hastily put that out of her mind. The tableau wasn't perfect, but in her heart of hearts, she knew the evening would go well and that the community would be uplifted when they came in to watch. Before dismissing the children, Mrs. von T reminded them that there would be treats that evening and that Santa? Was sure to come. The children hurried out of the room, happy and excited. Their minds were filled with their marvelous costumes and visions of Mrs. von T's famous cookies dunked in milk, and of course, of the oranges and candy that Santa was likely to bring. There was one family in the community whose children hadn't attended the concert rehearsal. And they wouldn't be coming that evening either. They weren't sad. They had their own preparations to enjoy. And in fact, they shared in the delight. delight and anticipation of the rest of the community. Such cold the winter brings, Babushka said. As she looked out the front window, oh, my bones, it makes them ache. She slapped her chest. Then she caught Trish's eye and winked. She wasn't fooling anyone. They all knew how much she loved the snow. It reminded her of her homeland in the Ukraine. Carly, again you complain, but still you watch the snow with such light in your eyes, Grandpa said, and he threw her a kiss. Grandfather was from Georgia, way to the south of Russia. He and Babushka spoke Russian and had wonderful accents. They kept their homelands in their hearts, even though they would never be permitted to return. Just then, Richard called out, Mama's home! Mama's home! They watched her walk down the slippery lane. Mama spent weeks away at a time in the town of Red Deer working at the hospital, but she was home for the holidays. And Trisha loved having her home. This year, they would have 3 days together to prepare, and then 8 days of Hanukkah, and then a few more days again. The next day, Mama took out the special Hanukkah menorah and asked Trisha to shine it up. She was happy enough to do so, especially since she knew that all the family was busy preparing for the Festival of Lights. And that afternoon, when their grandparents were busy and focused, Richard and Trisha couldn't help sneaking into the workroom to take a peek. Their grandmother was making the candles that would be put in the Hanukkah menorah. She had tied long strings to a rod and dipped them into a pot of melted beeswax that she kept on the wood stove. Then she hung the wax-covered strings on the wall to dry before dipping them again to add another layer of wax. It was colored blue, specially for Hanukkah. Babushka hummed as she dipped, never seeming to tire of the long process. Grandpa was busy constructing small toys out of wood. Richard and Trisha weren't supposed to know that these would be their gifts for them. Look, a dancing goat, Richard whispered. I like it, Trisha exclaimed. Grandpa had carved and shaped the wood to look just like miniature goats. They were so cute. He had painted saddles on some of them with colors from his homeland. The children marveled at how magical they were. As they took one lasting look, they wondered if he'd made enough for all 8 nights of Hanukkah. Mama called for Trisha. Had she caught them spying? But no. She only wanted Trisha to go over to the Kremels to borrow some cornmeal. The Kremels, their nearest neighbor, lived half a mile down the road. They were farmers, like the Palakos, and at harvest time, Mr. Kremel always helped Grandpa. All the neighbors helped each other. Friendship means something, Grandpa always said, especially for those who till the soil. With the Hanukkah preparations and Grandpa's funny sayings filling their heads, it almost felt to Trisha and Richard like they were back in the old country. In their mind's eye, they could see the Russian community gathered together and singing. And I think there's a little more of the Russian community that we're waiting for. I think there's Alexievich and Tomisevich. And maybe a few more bitches. There we go, yay. Tricia shook herself back to the present and hurried over to the Kremel's house. She practically lived there because Sherry Kremel was her very best friend. They especially loved the holiday season when Tricia would watch Sherry's family decorate their Christmas tree and Sherry would watch Tricia's family light their Hanukkah menorah. Tricia knew that as much as they were bustling in anticipation of the Festival of Lights, the Kremels would be preparing for the arrival of Christmas at their house. But when Tricia arrived, she found everybody quite sick. Even Sherry, who was usually full of spitzerinko, as Babushka would say, seemed quiet and weak. She was crying. I hope Santa will remember where we live. Well, why wouldn't he? Asked Tricia. Because we haven't put up a tree this year, or even decorated. Papa's too sick to get out of bed and go chop one down. And then she coughed, an awful cough. Actually, I can do an authentic one. Tricia sat down beside her on the bed and tried to comfort her friend. Perhaps we can help by humming a soft and gentle song. Silent Night. With a wave goodbye, Tricia ran home and burst in the door with the news about Sherry and her family. Mama seemed very worried. Did you go inside their house, Tricia? She asked. Sure, said Tricia. Uh-oh, Richard said. They all looked at each other. When your grandfather was in town today, Babushka said softly, Dr. Leach told him that many families around here have come down with scarlet fever. The Kremels must have it, and I sent you there, Mama said as she rushed Tricia to the bathroom, pulled off her clothes, and soundly scrubbed every inch of her. Am I going to get it, Mama? It's very contagious, answered Mama. We'll know in a few days. Am I going to die? Tricia asked, and she started to cry. No, baby, Mama said softly as she held her daughter close. But if you have it, it will make you quite sick. For the next few days, the family watched Tricia carefully.
Okay, this works too.
Things don't always go as we expect. I invite you to close your eyes for a moment to reflect on what you do to keep yourself grounded and tethered in hard times. Rituals and traditions can help balance us. They are like touchstones reminding us of who we are and what matters most, even when other things are changing. For a moment, I invite you to consider the rituals or traditions that help you in hard times. What are some of the things you do to brighten midwinter? Tradition and rituals sometimes encourage us to reach out to others. When we do so, we are reminded that we are not alone. For a moment, I invite you to silently thank those whom you reach out to when things are difficult. Take a moment to thank yourself for what you do to bring light to yourself and to others.
As the days passed, it was evident that Tricia was not going to get sick. But more and more reports came to them of the neighbors falling ill. The Cummings, the Thunderbolts, the Lofgrens, and the Frasers, too. It was an epidemic. They were all worried about their friends. But Babushka was determined that their festival of lights would go on as planned. On the afternoon before Hanukkah, she bustled around her kitchen. "Such latkes I'll make," she exclaimed while digging for the choicest potatoes in the bin. And she hummed happily as she placed the potatoes in front of Richard. He shredded them with great care. They had to be just right for Babushka's latkes. Mama and Babushka dressed down two chickens for the roasting and put them in the oven. Already, they had baked plenty of cookies. Just as the wonderful aroma of the feast met their nostrils, the sun set, and it was time to light the menorah. Grandpa recited the blessings and lit the shomas, the helper candle that is used to light all the other candles. Babushka then lit the first candle in the Hanukkah menorah. She used the shomas, the helper candle, to get her flame. And then, as every year, the adults in the family began to tell the story about the Jewish people long ago. "Tonight, we are celebrating miracles," Mama started. "The miracle that we can practice our faith, that we have the freedom to celebrate being Jewish." "Now," Grandpa continued, "many years ago, long before your babushka was born, or even your babushka's babushka's babushka was born, the Roman army tried to stop our people from being Jews. They invaded our temple. They destroyed the holy books and holy objects, including our precious lantern. But the Jewish people don't give up easily. They carried on worshiping God. And a small group of ordinary farmers, farmers like us, they drove away the king's army. It took 3 years, but they drove them away. It was a miracle." "It was a miracle," said Babushka. "And the other miracle was the light. After the struggle was over, the people reclaimed our great temple. They cleaned it thoroughly. They rebuilt the altar and made a fine new lantern. Finally, it came time to dedicate the temple to God. But when they searched for oil to light the lantern, they found only one small container of purified oil, just enough to last one day. But when they lit it, that oil burned on and on, day after day. It burned for 8 days. That is the 8 days of our celebration of Hanukkah. Hanukkah, a time of dedication. That's even what the word means, dedication." Babushka shook her head. "Such a miracle." "Miracles can happen every day," Grandpa said quietly. And Grandpa seemed to drift off into deep thought.
"Can't be a king every year, right?" "This year I'm just plain old me." In this season of Hanukkah and Christmas and solstice and Kwanzaa, there is a fair amount of talk about miracles. What is a miracle? And what would a modern miracle be or look like? Do we still believe in such things, if we ever did? or have faith that miraculous things are possible. So much has been proven and researched and tested. Medicine and science have debunked so much that many of us no longer buy the traditional notion of miracle, which, when I looked up the definition this week, said an event that appears inexplicable by the laws of nature and therefore is held to be supernatural in origin or an act of God, end quote. But I would hazard to guess, as I looked into the definition of miracle, that none of us, maybe even most of us, still do find room in our minds and our hearts for the next definition of miracle listed in the dictionary. Something that excites admiring awe. A wonderful or amazing event, act, person, or thing. In fact, I would go so far as to say there is something about that second definition of miracle that we actually need. We human beings need to muster as much awe and wonder as we can, need to see that the miraculous is still possible, that there are acts and events and people that can, in our lives, that can and do evoke and a sense of appreciation and delight. One of the gifts of this season, it seems to me, is the reminder that we need these moments of awe and wonder and even wow in our lives. We can't simply be ho-hum and jaded with all that comes our way. And the holiday season reminds us to stay enchanted, to see that the unexpected and the beautiful and the stunning and the joyful can happen in any moment, really. So no matter our age or how many holiday seasons we have seen come and go, each one is new, and new stories can be written to overlap with the timeless ones that we tell again and again. What lamps continued to light our way long after we thought that they would burn out? What angels have continued to sing about peace on earth and goodwill to all, just as our hope for peace was giving out? What darkness has nourished us as we considered what might bring light once again? It seems to me that it's amazing, perhaps even miraculous, that these same old stories still bring so much meaning with them. When I was looking for some words about the miraculous this week, I came upon an old friend, perhaps an old story that was meaningful to me long ago. I came across these words from Walt Whitman. Why, who makes much of a miracle? As to me, I know of nothing else but miracles. Whether I walk the streets of Manhattan or dart my sight over the roofs of houses toward the sky, or wade with naked feet along the beach, just in the edge of the water, or stand under trees in the woods, or talk by day with anyone I love. To me, every hour of the light and dark is a miracle. Every cubic inch of space is a miracle. Every square yard of the surface of the earth is spread with the same. Every foot of the interior swarms with the same. Every spear of grass, the frames, limbs, organs of men and women, and all that concerns them, all these to me are unspeakably perfect miracles. Perhaps you feel, as Whitman does, that every single cubic inch of life has miraculous possibilities, that life is so rich, so full of those miracles. And the holiday season perhaps simply brings them closer to the surface. So may we keep an eye out for the awe-inspiring, love-provoking, wonderful moments that are part and parcel of being alive. And may the stories of the season and of our days overlap in magical and unexpected ways. Happy Hanukkah to all. Merry Christmas, blessed solstice, holy days and joyful days for us all. Blessed be, and amen.
With Walt Whitman's words swirling through his mind, Grandpa handed the children the first of the beautifully wrapped presents. He looked troubled, though. "You know," he began, "our neighbors, they're having such a hard time, and this should be a time of gladness for all. If only we could do something to make their holiday special." Babushka thought for a while. "They always bring a tree into their house. Only in the New World." And she rocked with laughter. Carly, we should cut down trees and take them into their houses," Grandpa said. Babushka smiled in agreement. "I'll cut them down tonight. You help, Richard," Grandpa said, already pulling on his winter coat. Soon enough, the living room was filled with a forest of trees. They were very small trees. Grandpa had only taken the tops off the evergreens, but they were beautiful. "Like the woods just outside of Kiev when I was a little girl," Babushka said breathlessly. Grandpa and Richard nailed boards onto the bottom of each one so they would stand up. "We need to decorate them," shouted Richard excitedly. But Grandpa said, "But we have nothing to decorate the trees. It is not our tradition." Mama's voice drifted in from the kitchen. "What about the carvings?" "What do you think?" Grandpa gently asked the children. "They have no way of making their children happy this year. Well, what do you think? Should they get their Hanukkah gifts?" At first, Tricia and Richard were a little disappointed, but they knew it was the right thing to do. Their neighbors needed cheering, and they were just about the only people in the community who didn't have the fever. "Let's do it," shouted Richard and Tricia, as they started hanging some of the wooden animals on the branches of a tree. "This goat looks like it's dancing," Tricia remarked. "Let's call them the Trees of the Dancing Goats." Everyone agreed. Richard looked a little more carefully and said, "The trees need light." Babushka poked into the living room with a candle in her hand. "You must put one of my candles on each of the trees so they will have the light of God in their hearts. And so God will protect them and make them well again," she murmured. She had already fashioned special weighted candle holders that would safely anchor the candles to the trees. The children loved how the candles hung perfectly on each tree. Mama came into the living room next with a loaded basket on her arm. It was just one of many that she and Babushka had filled. They had been very busy in the kitchen, finding ingredients, then grating, chopping, pouring, and measuring and stirring. They'd been roasting chickens, frying latkes, shaping and baking cookies. Doesn't it look great? The preparations had taken almost all night long. But the time had flown by, perhaps especially so because they'd expressed the love in their hearts by singing traditional Hanukkah songs. Please stand and join them now in O Hanukkah. The words are in your order of service. In the early light of dawn, Grandpa went to get the sleigh. They loaded it with the trees and food baskets. And when Babushka and Grandpa climbed in, Richard said, "Just like Santa, Mr. and Mrs. Santa." But Grandpa made a funny face. "Feels a little odd." But Babushka laughed. She said, "Jesus was Jewish? It's okay."
Some of the most special gifts we are given can come from the most unanticipated places. Today, like in the Jewish story of in the family, we have an opportunity during our offertory to be good neighbors. Your generosity will be shared with two wonderful outreach organizations, Out of the Rain and the Dandelion Society, that work with the homeless youth and adults in Victoria. It is our opportunity to bring hope to the story of homelessness in Victoria and generosity in the story of our own lives. The offertory baskets will be passed around from the front of the sanctuary towards the back. At the back of the sanctuary and towards the front, children are sending around sleighs filled with sweet gifts for you. Cookies that were lovingly prepared by some wonderful babushkas in our congregation. If you are gluten-free, please wait for the special smaller baskets. And please be careful not to sneeze. When the cantor is ready to begin, the ushers will receive the gifts of the congregation. What is given in love is received in gratitude.
Thank you.
The deliveries seemed to take forever. Tricia and Richard waited eagerly and impatiently for Babushka and Grandpa's return. When they finally arrived home, later that morning, the children were thrilled to hear how their grandparents had entered the home of each neighbor and set up a tree in the living room and put the basket of food on the table. Mama was a little worried that they had been exposed to the fever, but Babushka said, "In so much worse I've been. You should have known from. God will protect. God will protect. This I know." The next 6 days of Hanukkah came and went. Each evening, the Polako family lit another candle and prayed. Their prayers were not unlike the kinds of joys and sorrows that we all have and for which we light our candles during the offertory each week.
We light this candle and offer gratitude for loved ones that surround us today. We light this candle in fond memory of loved ones who are no longer with us. We light this candle with hope for those yet to come. We light this candle with love to those outside our doors, especially for those who have no place to call home. We light this candle for those beyond the borders of our fair country. We light this candle for the plants and animals that are affected by our actions. We relight the candle and offer gratitude for loved ones that surround us today.
So on the eighth evening, just after the Polakos had lit the last Hanukkah candle, and were sitting down to enjoy the final Hanukkah feast, there was a knock at the door. "Now who could that be?" Babushka said. Before she knew who it was, though, she called out, "Come, come, you are so welcome. Thank you, come in." Mama opened the door. It was the Kremels. Sherry and her sister and her mom. They looked pale, but said they were quite well now. "Thank you," Mrs. Kremel said, looking into Mama's eyes. "We have something for you," Sherry announced. They were carrying a huge wreath, but no ordinary wreath. It was a Star of David that they had fashioned out of evergreen boughs and tied with blue ribbons. At first, the Polakos were too surprised to say anything. But finally, Mama whispered, "It's beautiful." And Babushka, with tears in her eyes, said, "It's such a miracle. Never, never in all my years here in Canada have any of you neighbors made a Star of David, a symbol of our religion. It is so lovely." Mr. Kremel said, "You were right. All these years we've lived beside you and not learned about your traditions. And then this year, you honored our tradition in the most beautiful way possible." By then, several other families had arrived, the Cummings and the Loughrins, the Thunderwalds and the Frasers, and Mrs. Von T, too. All the adults, even Mrs. Von T, had tears in her eyes. And one after another, they remarked how the chicken had been delicious, the latkes divine, and the cookies, the perfect combination of crispy and sweet. Wouldn't you agree? Several children said that the trees were the best ones ever, with their handmade candles and dancing goats. Mr. Loughran spoke quietly as he added, "Your gift to us across our faiths has restored my own faith that there can be peace on earth." They sat down to share the Hanukkah feast of potato latkes and applesauce. There was enough for everyone and plenty of laughter. Mr. Kremel cleared his throat at the end of the meal. He said, "It is so beautiful to watch the candles in the menorah as we sit and we eat your traditional food with you." Between mouthfuls, Babushka hugged Richard, then Tricia, and whispered, "A miracle, a miracle." Mrs. Kremmel added, "Is there more of your tradition that you could tell us about?" Of course," exclaimed Grandpa. His eyes were twinkling. "Like in the old country, we must dance." The neighbors looked a little uncertain, but he continued, "Tricia and Richard, they know the dance. They will teach you." But before the characters in our story, and anyone else who wants to, gets up to dance, I want you to know that the community, this is based on a true story, and the community did recover from that terrible fever. Few were left with any permanent damage, but what they were left with was a long-cherished memory of that Christmas when community spirit was truly alive and love shone brightly across faith traditions. The Polacco family, too, has never forgotten that incredible winter of the fever, the miracle of true friendship, and the trees of the dancing goats. Like the people in the story, we create wonderful memories and stories when we work together and help each other. And there were many people who worked together and helped each other on this pageant. I was going to count how many, but it was too many. And I so appreciate the collaborative efforts and of this pageant and of all the other ones that I've been involved in. And I feel like we had more help than ever this year. There's many people listed in the order of service at the back. If you see them, you might want to thank them. And I'm sure I forgot a few names, too. One person that's not listed anywhere in our order of service was a lovely surprise at the last minute, and that is Dennis Tucker. Thank you so much for adding your clarinet. And I'd like to invite some of the backstage helpers, Amalia, Sean, Morgan, Martha was backstage. And all the players, you should come forward, yes. And now, as we close this service and this story, let's fortify ourselves for the days ahead by singing and dancing. Our cantor will please help us with some complicated lyrics, quite simple lyrics. And anyone who wants to dance can join us.
Two. Achad, shtaim, shalosh. Shalom. I'm going to teach you this song. As Faye said, the words are very complicated. The words are haida, haida, haididi, daida, haida, haida, haida. And nothing to do with our First Nations people. This is the Hebrew or Yiddish equivalent of fa-la-la-la-la. And it goes like this. I'm going to sing the first line and ask you to sing it after me. Haida, haida, haididi-dida, haida, haida, hi. Sounds like you know it. Haida, haida, haididi-dida, haida, haida, haida. Second line. Haida, haididi-dida, haida, 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 haididi-dida, haida, haida, haida. Very good. Hi diddy di da, hi da, hi da, hi da, hi da, hi da, diddy di da, hi da, hi da, hi da, hi da, hi da, hi diddy di da, hi da, hi da, hi da, hi da, hi da, hi diddy di da, hi da, hi da, hi da, hi da, hi diddy di da, hi da, hi da, hi da. Hi-da, hi-diddy-di-da, hi-da, 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 hi-diddy-di-da, hi-da, 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 hi-diddy-di-da, hi-da, 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 hi-diddy-di-da, hi-da, hi-da, hi-da,
hi-da, hi-da-dee-da-da, hi-da, 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 hi-da-dee-da-da, hi-da, 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 hi-da-dee-da-da, hi-da,
in Red Deer or whatever rural place it was. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, and enjoy the holidays. There's coffee and tea will be served here. There's a sale of all sorts of lovely objects in the Lion Hall, and I think if we make our way a little bit out there, it'll make it easier for the servers. And a thank you to Adrian and Jane for stepping up as Grandma and Grandpa.